Welcome to Women's Words, a program bringing you the written work of the women of Minnesota.
My name is Jocelyn Pelagia. I live in Duluth. This essay is entitled 14 Years Since the Blue Moon. I got engaged and pregnant on the same day. It's possible beer was involved. Pretty much all of my days since then have been anticlimactic. They're all go to work, drive the kids around, sweat through a run, fold some laundry, and ever so rarely are they get engaged, have some drinks, and get pregnant kinds of days. Fortunately, from that particularly sticky July day came good things. I still dote on my groom, and the issue from that pregnancy is just cresting 14 years old. It's all good now, but the growth and arrival of our baby weren't as straightforward as her conception. In fact, she started out as 2. All I knew was that I was pregnant. The hospital in our town would confirm that fact, but would not have me meet with a doctor or midwife until the end of the first trimester. So I took some vitamins, ate a lot of Ben and Jerry's, exercised, and dreamed an entire life for the child inside of me. Until one night, the last night of that first trimester, when I got off the couch after watching some bad reality TV and went to the bathroom. After pulling down my shorts, I discovered the pregnant woman's nightmare. Blood. Lots of it. And when I sat down on the toilet, there was an explosion of more blood, along with many miscellaneous floating bits of tissue. My brain reeled, and all I could think was, this can't be good. I'm pregnant, so this should stop. At the time, my husband and I weren't yet married, and he lived almost 6 hours away. I called him, he lurched out the door and into his car, and then I called my friend Virginia, who was at my house in minutes. We went to the emergency room, where I spent a long, long time with my feet in stirrups. I heard words like, she's dilated, and tissue in the cervix, and no heartbeat. Virginia stood by my side, crying quietly into a Kleenex. My own tears ran down my cheeks and collected in my ears. After some time, I was told that it looked as though I'd miscarried. But, they told me, I was young, so future pregnancy could happen. And, they told me, a miscarriage is nature's way of ending a non-viable pregnancy. It happened, they told me, all the time. But here's the thing. It hadn't happened to me before, and so I was ill-equipped to handle the absolute, immediate grief of losing a life I had already planned. Sure, I'd heard of women having miscarriages, but no one had actually ever brought that experience alive for me. No one had shared her experience publicly. And if there's one thing I do, it's find ways to process the world by touching the experiences of others. Yet miscarriage proved to be one of those last female taboos, one of the hidden subjects that no one acknowledged. So all I really knew was that I was in significant physical pain and in even more profound emotional pain. When, at 4 a.m., my fiancé Byron finally got to me, we just cried. And the next day, and the day after that, we cried. A baby isn't real to the world until it's born. But it had become real to us from the minute that stick turned pink. Even more, the promise of a life we'd made together confirmed our rightness of being. Some days later, when we went to see the midwife at the hospital to have her check my uterus to see if all the tissue had been expelled that night in the emergency room or if I'd need to undergo a D&C to clean things up. As I lay there, again on a table, she palpated my uterus, noting, "There's still a fair amount of tissue in here. I'm going to roll over the mobile ultrasound machine to see how much we're dealing with." I didn't want to see the remains of the babe, so I stared at the wall as she worked. Thus, I didn't catch it at first when she said, I see a heartbeat here." At first, I didn't understand her words. Their meaning floated above me. But then, wait, what? A heartbeat? My head whipped to look at the monitor, where I saw a most contented-looking little figure reclining in the tub of my belly, a strong and regular heartbeat emanating from its chest. As I stared at the screen, not yet fully understanding what I was seeing, Byron's tears hit my face, falling from where he stood above me. The midwife backed out of the room, saying, "I'm going to give you guys a few minutes." My grief had prayed for a miracle, for the miscarriage not to have been real, for that pregnancy to still be happening. Suddenly, it was. Gradually, we pieced together that I had been carrying twins and one of them had not made it. This, according to one nurse, happens more frequently than we know, but it is still a once-in-a-blue-moon event. For the rest of my pregnancy, we called the kid inside of me the little gripper. I pictured it hanging resolutely onto the walls of my uterus with its tiny soft fingernails while its twin fell out of me. Assuredly, I will never stop missing the kid who fell, but mostly I can only marvel at the child who hung in there. Now it's been 14 years since the little gripper became our girl. 14 years during which she has emerged as reserved, smart, sweet, wry, amiable to a fault, love incarnate. As the years tick by, I love her purity of character above all else. Even when she was 6, a wee first grader, her unalloyed caliber was evident. One night at bedtime, her overtired 3-year-old brother cried in his bed, sobbing, "I don't want to go to sleep ever. I wake up in the night and I am alone. I'm always alone. I'm never going to close my eyes because sleep is too lonely." We had already pushed the kids' beds next to each other, strung the room with lights, played a CD of music throughout the night, and tried everything to get him to appreciate sleep as an opportunity, not a burden. But no matter what I suggested that night, he cried even harder. Then an almost 7-year-old hand snaked its way across his bed and extended itself onto his torso. With all the compassion of 2 souls, my daughter said, "Here, buddy, just hold my hand while we fall asleep. And when you're asleep, I'll just keep holding on to you. You know I won't ever leave you all alone." Each year, at the end of March, I say to that baby who became a girl and who is now a young woman, "Happy birthday, Toots." Every single day for 14 years now, I have thanked the sky above for that blue moon.
Women's Words is produced at KUMD by Chris Harwood, music by Sharon Isbin. This program is supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For more information about this author and her work, or to listen to this episode again, or subscribe to the podcast, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. Send your comments or questions to KUMD@KUMD.org.